good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. Good to see everyone got in safely this morning. Hopefully, no problem traveling. I think the roads are pretty clear. I know at least the route I took was pretty clear, so I was thankful for that. It was weird. Went out in my backyard, snow everywhere, and I thought, man, I better get on the shovel. And I walked out front, nothing. It was on the cars, nothing on the walkways, nothing on the street. I said, it's snowed behind my house, not in front of my house. It's awesome. I get to enjoy it behind my house and not have to shovel any in the front. I love it. It's my kind of snow. So, but good to see everyone here this morning. I pray that the Sunday school hour is a blessing to you as well as it was to me. I'm looking forward to this Sunday morning service here and what the Lord has for us. I'm going to ask before we get started, I'm going to ask my dad if you'd open up the word of, open up with a word of prayer.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord God, I look forward to each time that the doors are open that I can come and hear your word preached. Lord, I pray, as I asked before, I pray, Lord, you'd come and manifest your presence in our midst here this morning. Meet with us. Pray, Lord God, you'd, each one of us, I pray you'd prick our hearts. You'd stir us. Move us. Help us, to Lord, to grow. Prepare us for the week that we're about to face. Give us strength. Comfort us. Give us wisdom. Help those who are going through very tough difficulties in their lives, Lord. I pray that, Father God, you'd be with the with Jim and Donna Bush. Lord God, I pray, please, embrace them, encourage them, lift them up, comfort them, help them through this difficult time. And I pray for Brother Joe and Sister Chris with their son. Lord, again, I just ask for your grace, that you pour your grace out on them and comfort them during these times. Lord, it's hard to pray about these things because I don't know that I could go through them. I can't even understand that kind of pain. But Father God, I pray that you would embrace them and give them a calm spirit. Lord, I pray for anyone else who couldn't be in church here this morning because of illness or Lord God, because of the weather, I just pray that you'd meet all the needs. So, Lord, I just want to give you praise. I pray for your unction again on Pastor. Touch him. Use him as he stands behind that sacred desk, Lord. Pray that you'd speak through him powerfully. We need it, Lord. We need it as the days wax colder. We need your word and your encouragement and your edification in our lives. So, Father, I want to give you praise. I want to thank you. Bless the song singing and the service to come. For it's in Christ's name we ask. Amen.
Amen. If you would, I'm going to have you stand with me and then turn to page 139. We're going to sing When I See the Blood.
Hey.
Pass over you.
blood.
Yes.
Thankful for the blood of Christ. You know, you think about this when he sees the blood. You know, when you were talking about not being able to keep your salvation, I'm so thankful that I don't have to, because I would definitely not do a good job of it. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ keeps it for me. I'm thankful he's washed me in his blood. I'm thankful when the old accuser goes up to heaven and accuses me that God looks down and he sees the blood. So thankful for that. And it's a reminder when we sing these songs that we are bought with a price. There was a sacrifice made for our sins. The sins of our past, the sins of our present, and the sins that we're yet to commit are covered and paid for by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I just love singing songs about the blood. What a great song. If you would, turn over with me to page 160. We're going to keep singing about the blood here. Are you washed in the blood?
Each time they rolled down their window with me, there was questions. And so still good questions, and he and I went in, he'll talk to a woman sitting at a red light. So just pray for that there. As well as on Thursday, our corner over there, I think we're getting to be known. People taking pictures and whatnot, which I think is a good thing. I think the gospel needs to go out. I know a lot of individuals, some churches go out, they do street preaching and all kinds of door knocking, and there's all kinds of ministries out there. But I really believe when you hold up that sign, people read it. I don't know if you ever try to hand people tracts. Sometimes people will turn you down sometimes. I would say 90% of the time they turn you down. But when they're going to read the sign. They're going to read it because they're curious how Americans are. You hold something up, they're going to read what it says. So they're getting a gospel witness there. And thank you for those that came out Saturday. I already mentioned it, but those that did come out, it was a blessing. Thank God blessed it for those that came out Thursday. We're one we're trying to do, weather permitting. This Thursday again, we'll try to be out there at 3:30 to 4:30 out there for the normal app. And then this coming Saturday again, we're willing. We'll try to be over there at Union and Airport Road by Wawa. That's a busy intersection right there. So if you're interested, come on out. I'd like to try to get out some floor hangers and things like that. Just take it as it comes along. But if you can make it out, ask you, please pray for us. Those that are out there, God will bless His word. The individuals will read those scriptures and think about their souls. And those that do get tracts will read them and think about where they'll spend eternity. Souls are at stake, and God requires for us to be faithful to call us home to be a gospel witness and a testimony to the community we're in. So if you can't make it, I just ask that you pray for us. So this Thursday, 3:30 to 4:30, and then Saturday, from 1 to 2. Did a little different this week because I had something to take care of. But this week it'll be 1 to 2. If anybody's interested or wants more information, just give it to me.
Alright, we're going to turn to page 163. If you're willing and able, please stand with me. We're going to sing My Redeemer, page 163. We're going to sing a cappella. A moment to get there. Alright, 163. I will sing of My Redeemer and His wondrous love to me.
Sing, oh, sing of My Redeemer.
debt set me free, lives within inside me now,
bears witness to my spirit that I'm born again of God, that I'm a new creature. Old things passed away, all things become new. We're going to continue on this morning in our study that we started last week. I'm going to take the book of Romans, and we're going to move the book of Romans to either Sunday night or Wednesday night when that time comes, seeing that we're near the ends of both 2 Peter and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll be moving the book of Romans to one of those time slots. Lord's just laid something upon my heart, and I don't know how long this series will go, but we're going to kind of pick up what we looked at last week. And we were in Ezekiel and talking about how he was preparing, or God was giving him the outline and what was needed and how it was going to be built for the third temple. And we looked at how he fell upon his face before God. And we looked at how our lives are to be the temple. We are the temple of God. And how also we're believer priests, that we now are priests, holy priesthood for Jesus Christ. We're to offer up now, brethren, we're to offer up now spiritual sacrifices. We're a spiritual house, we're lively stones, a holy priesthood that offers up spiritual sacrifices. And all that's found in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're not going to go over it this morning again. But what I'd like to go through is a series dealing with the kings of Judah. And we're not going to get there this week, but hopefully we might get to a part of it. I'm not sure yet. And we're going to start with David. But as we look through the kings of Israel, the kings of Judah in particular, after the kingdom separated, after Solomon and Rehoboam, we're going to take the line that goes down, the line of Judah and the kings of Judah. And we're not going to do an exhaustive study so much on the king himself, but on how that king dealt with and treated the house of the Lord. You see, the kings of Judah had the right and proper place to worship, and that was there in Jerusalem at that temple. You know, Israel, they got 10 kingdoms, Judah or David got 2, okay, the line of Judah and Israel. Now, what Israel was supposed to do is they were supposed to come down to Jerusalem to worship, but Jeroboam messed that all up. He set up those 2 golden calves, and it was just a hindrance for them for their whole time. Okay? But the Lord's led on my heart to do a series as we look through these kings and how they treated the house of the Lord and how it not only hindered them or helped them, but how it also hindered or helped the people. And I'm going to look at it in our lives and how we treat not only the house of God here, this building, but also the house of God and the temple as our own bodies, us as being representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how the Holy Spirit dwells within us. We looked at it last week of how important and how serious it was when that high priest went in to meet with God the Father, with the Holy God there in the Holy of Holies. And how that high priest had a special way to wear his garments. They were specific garments and how he was to put them on and wear them. And he had to really examine himself before he took a step into between that veil into the Holy of Holies. I guess what I'm saying is a synopsis of what we looked at last week, that when you come in, when a high priest in the Old Testament came into the Holy of Holies, he did a lot of searching. He did a lot of searching because he knew if he went in there unworthily, God was going to kill him. He'd have dropped dead. Now, I looked at it last week. Let's say we were the high priest and we had to go before the Holy of Holies tomorrow. Would there be anything you would change in your life today to prepare you to walk in there tomorrow? And we have more than what that high priest had. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. See, I think sometimes we forget what salvation entails and what is all bound up in salvation. Obviously, we don't go to the temple or the tabernacle now and bring sacrifices because Jesus is our atoning sacrifice. Neither do we have a high priest who goes in before us to present the blood on the altar there at the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies. But we still, today, more so than what they had, we have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us. within our temple, within our tabernacle. He dwells with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, but He's there. And the Bible says that you can grieve Him. You can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So this morning, I'd like you to take your Bible and look at Exodus chapter number 28. Exodus chapter 28. And we're going to look at three things here in Exodus chapter 28 this morning. Exodus chapter 28. We're going to look at three things here this morning before we get into King David. Okay, before we get into King David, and it was in the heart, it was in the heart of King David. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it was in the heart of King David to build God a house, to build Him a temple, to build Him a permanent tabernacle for Him to dwell in for the children of Israel. And one day that temple is going to get rebuilt, and God the Father will dwell within that temple. But us as believers have the temple of God within us. We are the temple of God. We have something so much more special than what they had in the physical, that what we have in the spiritual. But before we go into that, I want us to look as believer priests, what the Lord requires of us as believer priests before we can serve Him. Before we can serve the Lord properly, we're going to look at a few things here that the Lord expected the Old Testament priest to do, and I believe we can apply to us today as New Testament priests, a holy priesthood that we are. Look at Exodus chapter 28 and look at verse number 40. Exodus 28 and verse number 40. Exodus 28, verse 40. Okay? For the sake of time, I'm not going to go through everything that the priest had to go through and put on and make. We're just going to look at these specific two verses, though, as it pertains to the high priest themselves, Aaron and his sons. Look at Exodus 28, verse 40. "And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty." For whose glory and whose beauty? The Lord. You see, most of the children of, brethren, most of the children of Israel will never see this, for the most part. And if they do, it'll be quick. If they do see these garments, it's going to be quick, it's not going to be long, and then they're going to be on their way. But I believe this glory and this beauty is for the Lord. For the Lord. Okay, verse 41. "And thou shalt put them upon Aaron and thy brother, and his sons with him." And look what it says next, after he puts these holy garments on. "And shalt anoint them, and consecrate them, and sanctify them." For what purpose, Moses? "That they may minister unto me in the priest's office." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray you lead, guide, and direct, dear God. Lord, I pray you clear my mind, Lord. I don't know how to go out or come in, dear God. I pray just for wisdom, guidance, instruction, Lord, what you would have said and not said, Lord. Guide my lips, dear God. Guide my my thought process this morning, Lord. May nothing be done in the flesh, but all through the Spirit of God. Lord, that you would receive glory, honor, and praise. Help us, Lord, to examine ourselves. Help us to be about your business, dear Lord, in these last days that we're living in. And we'll give you the glory and honor and praise in everything that's said and done. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 42 or 41 says, "And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office." You see, they cannot minister in the priest's office until they put these things upon them. And then after these things are put upon them, they cannot start their ministry until they're anointed, until they're consecrated, and until they're sanctified by how Moses stated here, these rules that God gave Moses set up for the priests. The first thing here, what is required for a priest in order to be acceptable for his service in the sanctuary? The first thing that is required is that there needs to be an anointing that takes place. The priest comes in, and the Bible says that Moses, it says here, "And thou shalt put upon them Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and thou shalt," who? Moses, "shall anoint them with oil." Before they're consecrated, before they're sanctified, before they can go minister in the sanctuary, before God Almighty, they had to be anointed with oil. Take your Bible, look at Exodus chapter 29. the next chapter over and look at verse number 7. Exodus 29 and verse number 7. Exodus 29, 7. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. So Aaron was and his sons were to appear before Moses, and Moses was going to take that anointing oil and pour it upon Aaron's head. That is a representation of the Holy Spirit of God. The anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? Anoint means this: to consecrate by unction or the use of oil. Unction means this. It can mean anything that softens, or unction can also mean the act of anointing. Okay? So as Moses is pouring this oil over Aaron's head, he's providing an unction. He's anointing Aaron with this oil, which is in our lives, as we're going to see, a representation of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? Unction can also mean something that softens. And I'm afraid I got a whole message I'm putting together on soft Christians. But it's in the good sense. I'm not talking about soft Christians as far as just can't deal with nothing. I'm talking about a need for Christians to be soft. I said, wow. Look up to, you get a chance this week to do a little word study. Do a little word study on gentleness. The Lord requires for us to be gentle. Paul was said that he was like a nurse, and he was gentle as he cherished his children. God desires for us to be gentle. But what oil does, look, when the Holy Spirit of God comes in our life and we allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in our life, one thing the Holy Spirit will do is he'll soften us if we'll let him. Soften my heart, God. Lord, if my heart has grown hard and cold in your service, Lord God, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you'll soften my heart. I'm glad today, brethren, I'm glad that Jesus had a soft heart. I'm glad Jesus, most of the time we read about him, usually with the multitudes and the crowds, he was moved with compassion. And I desire for that in my life. I pray, God, help me not to be so hard and difficult. I'm talking about me. God, help me not to be so hard and difficult and stubborn, God. But Lord, help me to walk as Jesus walked, in gentleness and goodness and with compassion on the multitude. You know, when people drive by and I'm holding a sign and they cuss me out or they say, Hail Satan, or give me the middle finger, I feel bad for them. I feel sorry for them. That's right. I'll tell you about Jesus. You're going to hell, buddy. You don't repent. That's the wrong attitude. I think what we need today in our churches is a brokenness for sinners. A brokenness for sinners. It breaks my... I'm sad. I'm holding a sign. I'm praying. I said, Lord, I pray you bless your word. But Lord, I pray, dear God, to have... Lord, if anybody should say something, because I know how my flesh is, help me, Lord, not to be confrontational, but Lord, help me to have the right spirit if they do something to try to provoke me. That I would respond as Jesus would respond. Would I turn the other cheek? Would I turn the other cheek? If I was spit upon, would I spit back? Would Jesus? No. No. Anointing means to consecrate by unction or the use of oil. The use of oil and consecrations was of high antiquity. Kings, prophets, and priests were set apart or consecrated to their office by the use of oil. Think about that for a second, brethren. You are kings and priests by God Almighty. This morning, though you don't have a throne, though you don't have a kingdom, the Lord says you are a king and you are a priest. You are a king and priest in the kingdom of our God. And the Bible says that the use of oil in consecrations was of high antiquity. Kings, prophets, and priests were set apart or consecrated to their offices by the use of oil. We have been anointed by Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit of God. You see, the question I have this morning as we look at these three things quickly this morning, anointing, consecration, and sanctification as a priest, according to the Old Testament, I believe we can apply it to those of us in the New Testament. Have you been anointed by the Holy Spirit? You say, that's not in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I'm going to show you in a moment. It's in the Bible. Have you been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God? Have you been consecrated by divine and sanctifying grace? Has the Holy Spirit, has there ever been a time in your life where you once were lost, but now you're found? Has there ever been a time in your life where you were blind and you couldn't see and now you have sight? Has there ever been a time in your life where you were in darkness and now you're in light? Has there ever been a time in your life where you passed from death unto life? You say, preacher, I don't know. And pray and ask God to show you. So, preacher, I don't know. I can't. I don't know. I just don't know. I'm confused. I don't know. Talk to God. Ask God to show you and reveal to you what you need to see concerning your salvation. You say, preacher, well, we're not supposed to question people's salvation. Paul numerous times says, if. Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Christ Jesus in you, except you be reprobates. There is a proving period. There is a proving period. And like I said in the Sunday school hour, brethren, the reason I'm so hard on some of this stuff, because it was done to me. It was done to me, and I can't stand it. High pressure sales tactics when it comes to salvation and trying to get somebody saved. Trying to get somebody just to do something for art, to make us feel good. Now we know you're not going to hell because it's all about us, because it makes me feel good knowing now you said something and now you know Jesus. Rather than God bearing witness to their soul saying, and they can look at you and say, I know God. I don't need you to tell me I know God. I can tell you I know God. Do you see what I'm talking about this morning? I went back and looked at, take this time and you say, well, King Agrippa. Paul said to King Agrippa, when he was dealing with King Agrippa, he says, I know thou believest all these things. King Agrippa had knowledge of the Jews and the prophets and the Old Testament setup and the Old Testament laws and their ways and the way they lived, because Paul bare witness to that through the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul says to him, I would that thou were a Christian. I would thou believest, because Agrippa said to him, almost. King Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Why didn't Paul say to Agrippa, well, no, Agrippa. All you got to do is just bow your head right now and just repeat after me. I know you believe. Just say these words with me, Agrippa. Paul didn't say nothing to him. He let him hold that rock. And what we do today is we do the part of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, there's a part that we're supposed to do as Christians, but then there's a part that God and only God can do in somebody's life when it comes to salvation. And we short-circuit it today. Well, anybody want to get saved, just bow your heads and everybody close your eyes and raise your hand. It almost gets Catholic. I don't need to see your hand. So just bow your head, raise your hand, and let me know. No, you do business with God. You see, in the old times with the old preachers, people used to do business with God. When Jonathan Edwards, he had power with God, when he read that letter, A Sinner's in the Hands of an Angry God, I believe that's what that sermon he read, he didn't even preach. He just read it. And he said those people were so under the conviction of God that some of their hands were white because they were gripping the edge of the seat, like they're on the edge of the seat, like they were walking over the pits of hell. We've short-circuited today the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we're lazy in our Christian walk, so we take shortcuts to try to win souls. How much time do we spend in the prayer closet? How much time do we spend in the prayer closet? I'll be the first one to stand in line. How much time do we stay in the prayer closet praying for souls and sinners? Well, preacher, I got a little 5-minute devotional in the morning. God help us. God help us all. See, brethren, please hear me. We will be accountable. We'll be accountable. We'll be accountable. A lot of preachers today won't tell that to their congregation because guess what? They'll lose. I ain't worried about money. I heard a preacher this week, about preachers today, they'll talk more softly in order to gain a little more cash. No, I don't want cash. I want to be faithful to God. And I'm not here for money. If I was here for money, quite miserable. And I'm not saying it because what you're giving me, I'm saying I would be a miserable man if I'm only doing this because of money. I'm not doing this for money. I'm doing this because God's called me here. God's called me here to be a pastor. And I'm afraid sometimes our hearts get hardened. You know what one of the problems was with 4 years without a pastor? Is you could just do what you want to do. There's no accountability. You have preachers that come in and could preach good messages, but they're not a pastor. You see, sometimes a pastor's got to shear the sheep. And sheep don't like to be sheared. But it's good for the sheep. I don't need an assistant pastor. I believe I got enough. You've all given me enough money right now. I'm able to do it full time. I don't need an assistant pastor. And by God's grace, Lord, I pray you'd help me to keep battling these thoughts in my head. But sometimes a shepherd does things that aren't pleasant for the flock because he knows it's needful. You see, it's easy to go 4 years without a pastor because basically you can just live how you want to live. You come to church on Sunday. You might come to church on Wednesday. You get a good message. You go home. And the rest of the week, you just live your life like the way you want to live it. Brethren, that's not the case. And that ought not to be the case with us because we're priests. We're believer priests. We represent Jesus Christ. Our job is 365, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We never stop being a Christian. We never stop representing Jesus Christ. We are to be about his business, whether we have to go to work, or we have to go to the grocery store, or we have to go get gas, or we got to go visit our neighbor, or go visit our children. Always, in every situation, we are a believer priest for Jesus Christ. And God will hold us accountable for that. God will hold us accountable for what is said in darkness that nobody else knows about. God will hold us accountable. That should encourage you this morning. That should encourage you. What do you know what it should encourage you to do? It should hopefully, as a preacher, I hope as a pastor, it encourages you to want to have a closer walk with God. But I realize in most churches, I've been around long enough, and in most churches, most people are not going to want to get closer to God. They're content with just where they're at in their spiritual walk. They're just content. They're content just to be on the bottom line and just content just to stay right there. I'm not content to just stay right there. I want to get as high as I can. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to get closer to God than I was yesterday. I want to get closer to God than I was 2 weeks ago. I want the Lord to grow me and to make me to be what he wants me to be, to represent him the best I can with the rest of the life that I have to live. I'm not content to be stagnant in the things of Jesus Christ. And I'm not content for Ray Street Baptist Church just to be content to just go along like it's always gone along. I want to see God do something. I want to see God move. I want to see a miracle of God. I want to be able to point back and say, only God could have done that. But I know most people are just, you're just a little too crazy. You got a little too much of a charismatic attitude. You're just a little too flamboyant. You might just get a little too excited for me. And that's fine. That's fine. But are you anointed this morning? Are you anointed? Are you saved, and does the Holy Spirit dwell within you? Take your Bible and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 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 1. And look at verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 21. And Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, writing here, chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians and verse 21, if you're there, the Bible says, "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ hath anointed us in God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." You see here, if you go back up to verse 20, or go back up to verse 19, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ," and look what it says, "and hath anointed us in God." Have you been anointed this morning with the Holy Spirit of God? Has he anointed you? Take your Bible and look at 1 John again. 1 John chapter number 20. The anointing of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 20. 1 John chapter 2 verse 20. We read it during Sunday school, but we'll read it again. Here in 1 John chapter 2 verse 20. It says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. For I have not written unto you, brethren, ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth." Take your Bible, look at verse 27. Same chapter, 1 John chapter 2. But look what the Bible says here. "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you." Do you have that anointing that the scripture talks about here in verse 27? This ain't something that Pastor Chris has made up. This is Bible. "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you." Look what it says next. "And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Do you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God this morning? Does the Holy Spirit of God dwell within you, and does he teach you? Do you get something out of your Bible when you read it? Do you get something out of your Bible when you read it? I'm not talking about historical facts. I'm not talking of just being able to parrot out what you just read. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit saying, "Look at that." And you're like, "Wow, I never saw that before." You see, that's one of the ways you know you're saved. It happened to me when I got saved. That book right there, it's like the lights come on. It is like the lights came on. I even say so, even some ways, with the hymns. I used to sing "Power in the Blood" all the time when I was growing up. That's a popular song with charismatics and the Assemblies of God. They love that song. And I love it now. But now I see power in the blood. Now I get it. Now I understand I'm washed in the blood. Now it all makes sense. Now I'm getting what Jesus Christ has done. And it's like the Holy Spirit of God saying, "Yep, see, do you see it now? Do you see it? Yes, I see it. I see it. I see it. Praise the Lord, I see it." It's because I now have spiritual eyes. I now have, brethren, I now have the anointing that teacheth me all things. This is not charismatic. This is Bible. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, read it again. "But the anointing which ye have received of him." Hold your hand right there for a moment. And flip over to John chapter 1. Hold your hand there. And look at John chapter 1. And look at verse number 12. Look at John. And I want you to look at chapter 1. And I want you to look at verse number 12. This is right after John says that He came unto his own, and his own received him not. John 1:12. Look at this now. Kind of what we're looking at in 1 John. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You believe on his name, you get power to become a son of God. I don't want to be an NBA player. I'm a son of God. I don't want to have what Bill Gates has. I'm a son of God. Listen, my father owns everything you got, Bill Gates, because he's my king. Do you understand this morning? Everything that Bill Gates got, it's mine in Christ Jesus. He might own a lot of stuff, but someday it's coming out of his hands and it's coming into some believer's hands. When we come back to rule and reign, Bill Gates is going to have his time and his judgment. And we're going to rule and reign on this planet. There's probably lands that Bill Gates owns. Guess what? Someday the title's being removed from him, and it's going to be given to some believer who lived faithfully for Jesus Christ. Brethren, we're coming back as kings and priests. We're going to rule and reign with Jesus. We're going to have responsibilities. We might even rule over a nation if we're faithful here. Look what it says, though, the next verse. Which were born, jump down to the very bottom, of God, but of God. But he adds a little something in between those two statements, which were born, but of God. But you got a comma there, and he adds three things in. You see, this morning, we need to make sure that we're born of God, not by the blood, which were born not of blood, which means that you don't get saved because grandma was saved. You don't get saved because you're in that bloodline of those that get saved. You're not saved by blood. And then he says next, nor the will of the flesh. You can't will your way into heaven. You see, you can't do it. Nor the will of flesh. You can't work your way into heaven. It's not by blood. It's not by the will of man. But look what it says next. Nor will the flesh, nor the will of man. You know where we fall short? Right there. There's a lot of Baptists that do it by the will of man, not by God. We're born not by the will of man. I can't will my children into heaven. I can't will sinners into heaven. They have to be born, but of God. Not because I say they're born again, but because God says they're born again. Now go back over again to 1 John. It says this anointing teaches us and also abides in us. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. Real quick this morning, look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse number 9. The last verse here, looking at the anointing. Moses, when he went to anoint Aaron as high priest, he took that anointing oil and he poured it over his head. That is symbolic to a believer as us receiving the Holy Spirit of God and walking and living in the Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. The Bible says this, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have not received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Right there is a clue and a red flag. Do individuals that who claim to know Christ, do they have the spirit of the world or the spirit of God? Do they put more emphasis on this world or on the things of God? Where is our emphasis this morning? Is it on a spirit of the world or the spirit which is of God? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Does the Holy Ghost of God teach you? Do you get taught by the Holy Spirit? You see, it's not man's wisdom of words. It's the Holy Spirit of God that teaches. You see, brethren, if you're just merely listening to me and do what I tell you to do, it means nothing. Because I'm nothing. What we desire and what we need as Christians is the Holy Spirit just and show us. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is always with us. You see, a preacher or someone that we might be accountable to, or a good friend or a best friend, they can help us along up to a point. But there's going to be times in our life where we're by ourselves. Will we do right and have integrity and be led of the Spirit when we're by ourselves? That's a question. The Holy Spirit teacheth us, the Word of God says. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because look what it says, for they are foolishness unto him. You know why? A lot of people, you're holding up a sign, and I can see it if I was on the other side, because I would think the same thing if I wasn't saved. You're crazy. On a Saturday, you're going to stand out there in the cold wind and hold up a sign that has a Bible verse on it. You crazy individual. You're a fool. You're so dumb. Blah, 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 blah. They're saying exactly what the Bible said that they should say. Because the Bible says that they can't understand it because it's foolishness unto them. Us coming to church this morning in a snow, with snow, isn't it a perfect time and excuse just to stay home and just say, there's a lot of snow out there this morning. You're going to church this morning in this snow? You're a fool. God knows your heart. You just take the day off and you think God... You're a fool to go to church this morning because they can't understand it. It's foolishness to them. Neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. Don't get upset if somebody can't receive it. They can't receive it because it can only be understood by the Spirit. You say, well, how does a lost individual get saved? I believe a lost individual gets saved by the light that God gives them. And God sees what you're going to do with the little bit of light He gives you. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. When you start witnessing somebody, and you start giving them a little bit of Bible, or a little bit of truth, I believe God opens their eyes and gives them clarity to receive that truth. And then it's with them now. Are they going to take that truth and continue to find more truth, or are they going to reject the light that they were given and continue to walk on in darkness? John chapter 3. Why? Because they love the pleasures of wickedness and this world than God. And that's why God sends them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Because when they knew the truth of God, they rejected the truth of God and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Romans chapter 1. Light was shown to them. A ray of light shined into that dark life of theirs. A gospel witness was presented to them, and they chose rather to reject that light that they got and to continue on in darkness. I'm going to show you how powerful the light is. I'm talking about Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Brethren, if all of a sudden we could take this room that we're in and we could completely black it out. I'm talking black it out. Some of you have gone in caves before around here. Has anybody been in a cave to where they turn the lights off and you literally cannot see the hand in front of your face. That's how dark it is. Let's say that we could do this in this building today. Let's say we can make it so black in here to where we couldn't see one another. We couldn't even see the hand in front of our face. And we took a little needle. And let's say it was a canvas, and we were able to poke a hole in that canvas. All of us immediately will be able to see that light. even though it's tiny as a pinhole, that light coming through that pinhole would light up this darkness to where we could be like, is that a little piece? Is that light over there? That's how powerful light is into darkness. But you take a room that's completely white and all that, and you put a little speck of dark, a little tiny little speck of black, it's going to take you a little while to find it. Do you see what I'm getting at this morning? When you witness to somebody and you pray for them, you know what I pray for lost individuals? That God would open their eyes for them to see the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That they would see the light. The light of Jesus Christ. He is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into this world. No man or woman is ever going to be with an excuse before God saying, I did not know. I believe everybody that's ever been born up to this point has given an opportunity to know who God is. The creation, this very stars declare the glory of God. That's a light that there's a creator. Then I say to individuals, what do you do with the light? Do you want to know more truth? Do you want to keep coming to what the truth is? Because if I believe if you want to know more truth, eventually you're going to come to Jesus Christ because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, I'm seeking for truth. Keep seeking, because if you're really seeking for truth, you're going to come to Jesus. Anybody that says they're looking for truth and rejects Jesus, they don't really want truth because Jesus is truth. I just want to know the truth. I just want to know the truth. You want Jesus? Well, no, I'm just searching for... No. You're not really looking for truth. You're looking for something that will excuse you the way you live and let you have a little bit of God as well. Do you see? A lot of people today, they want heaven, but they don't want the Jesus of the heaven. They want God, but they don't want the holiness and righteousness that comes with God. I want to have a little bit of God, but I still want to be able to do what I want to do. You can't have both. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't have two masters. And a lot of people out today that claim to be saved, claim to be Christians, they're trying to serve two masters. And God says, I will have none of it. I'm going to close with this. I used to tell this to the kids in the juvenile center. Let's say it's my wedding day and I'm standing up here and I'm getting ready for my wife to come, my future wife, to walk down the aisle. They start playing the music and I'm waiting up here and I'm excited and I'm nervous and I'm real ready. And she comes around that corner, kind of like Erica did for Brian and Erica's wedding. Come around that corner and let's say I've got my eyes closed and I'm nervous and all of a sudden those doors open up and there she is with whoever's walking around the aisle. But it's not her daddy or her uncle or her grandfather or a relative or not. It's two of her old boyfriends. You see my fingers? That's exactly what I'd be going right there. And if I had enough self-control to stand here, which I probably wouldn't, but if I had enough self-control to wait till she got here, it would be a long time for her to get here. But my first thought would be, why are they walking her down the aisle? Now, I don't know about you all. I don't know how you... I'm a jealous man. I'm a jealous man. I love my wife, and I'm jealous over my wife. Okay. So let's say I have character, and I was able to handle the sweat and the anger that's building up within me, for her to get down to the front. And she gets down to the front, my first question to her would be, I thought we were getting married today. And she's like, yeah, we're getting married today. Of course, that's why I got my dress on, and that's why I'm here, and that's why the music's playing. I thought you loved me. Oh, yes, I love you. I love you. Then what are these two men that I know are your old boy, what are they doing walking you down the aisle? Oh, well, I thought that, you know, every once in a while you let me spend some time with them. How many Christians come to God that way? Well, Lord, I want you. But, you know, I thought every once in a while you let me spend some time with whatever. You see, when you get married, you wouldn't put up with that in your own marriage, on your own wedding day. You wouldn't put up with that. You'd be like, it's either me, all of me, everything of me, or it's nothing. We're not getting married. But a lot of people come to God that way. They want to get married to God. They want to be part of the bride of Christ, but they still want to see two old flings out there on the side. And the Lord says, until you're willing to give up those two old flings out there and want to be my bride, I'm not marrying you. That's a picture of salvation. That is a picture of salvation. When you come to Christ, at least when I did, Lord, I'm yours. I just want you, Jesus. Does the Lord still work with things in our life? Yes. Did everything just drop off of my life that I was doing wrong when I got saved? No. But my desire was there. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not saying you got to give something up. I'm not saying you got. I'm saying your desire is you be willing to give it up to come to Christ. Do you see what I'm saying? There's some of you in here that can testify to say, when you got saved, God took the liquor out of your life immediately. But it took months for God to get the cigarettes out of your life. But God saw the heart that you were willing to do whatever God wants you to do. And God says, okay, I can work with that now because I see where your heart's desire. You want me, and I can handle that. Come on to me, and then I'll bring you along now in your walk. You're mine, and I'm yours, and we'll come along. Same way with a marriage. Same way with a marriage. But the desire is there to be with one another and to be single-minded and single-eyed to that one that we love. That's relationship with Jesus Christ. That's biblical salvation. I'm not where I need to be as the bride of Christ. I'm secure. I'm my sins are gone in Christ, but I still got this body of flesh that I'm living in. And the Bible says it can still, the garments that I could put on someday, my spiritual garments can still be spotted. They can be wrinkled. I want them to be as possibly as white as they possibly can be when I get ready to stand before my Savior. I'm secure in Him. But I'm still left here on this planet to live out this life for Jesus Christ. And someday I'm going to have to appear before Him in my wedding. And I want Him to be as perfect and as starched and iron without no wrinkle, spot. Or I want it to be, I want to be as close as I can be to the Lord down here to where when I get home to heaven, I'm as close as I possibly can be to Him there. If those things make sense. We have an unction. We have an unction, we have an anointing from the Holy Spirit of God. As we close up here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to read the last two verses. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul's saying that as he's putting these things forth through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that what he's saying is coming from the mind of Christ. Do you this morning have that anointing? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you now living in that power that comes from the blood of the Lamb? We only got to one part this morning, and that was the anointing part. Then comes the consecration and the sanctification. But is it in your heart this morning to draw closer to the precious Savior? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I thank you for these precious brethren, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they were willing to come out to church this morning, Lord. Lord, this morning would be a good morning just to say to stay at home in bed. And Lord, I'm so thankful, dear God, that they came out to church. Lord, I pray, dear God, I didn't mess anything up this morning, Lord, or say anything that was out of the line, Lord. If I did so, Lord, I pray you'd show me. But Lord, I pray we'd see the truths of these scriptures, dear God. Lord, that we would see that we ought to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God that teaches us. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning that doesn't have that, or it's foreign to them, or they don't understand or see or know these things, Lord, I pray you'd help them to see it. God, for what purpose, Lord, that we could live lives that bring you glory and honor. And we'll love you more. Lord, help us to love you more. And I pray this morning, Lord, that you would just be glorified and honored in all that was said and done. We ask these things now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'd like to close with a song this morning. If you're able to stand this morning. Can you do that one? Is your all? Yeah, is that it? Page 476, page number 476, is your all on the altar. Page 476.
Children and walk closer to you.
Wonderful.
We ask these things in your precious Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We'll see you tonight.